This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Work is set to begin on improving the 10 busiest bus routes in the metro system. Phase one of the Reinventing Metro plan launches at the end of this month. And as part of the plan, riders will see increased bus frequency on routes, longer hours of operation, and better amenities. Voters approved what was known as Issue 7 last year to pay for the massive overhaul in local transit. So let's talk about it. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the first phase of what's to come in the Reinventing Metro plan is Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority, or SORTA, Board Chair Craig Kesey. Craig, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be on.
Well, we're glad you could come back on. And if you're listening and you have questions or comments about the plan or bus riding in general, give us a call, 513-419-7100, or email talk@wvxu.org. Craig, I want to start by reflecting on what voters did for Metro last year in approving Issue 7. Some of the levies that had been proposed in recent years had failed. What do you think was different about this community last time that you want approval on this ask?
Well, I think we had a great bipartisan effort, right? This was done over years, several years. I think, to your point, a transit levy hadn't passed in since the early 70s, right? So several years of talking about why it mattered for folks, why it's critical to support jobs, education, getting folks the ability to get to healthcare, work, worship, those kind of things. And that ultimately had a really broad coalition that supported it, right? From the business community, human services community, healthcare, education, unions, really as bipartisan an effort as I think you could imagine.
And now the stakes must be high for the organization because now you have to execute. How is SORTA approaching this Reinventing Metro plan?
Sure. We recognize that, the issue passed by less than 1,000 votes. So, we have a real commitment to the community to live up to the promises made. And so we're working very hard to make sure everybody can understand the benefits and realize them. So we're actually trying to go a little faster than the original plan even laid out so that we can deliver upon the promise.
We've been living under a pandemic for the better part of a year plus. I'm wondering what the organization has learned about public transportation during that time as it starts to work on this Reinventing Metro plan.
Yeah, I think a few things. Certainly, as we've, I'll say that the role of the operators, right? They're essentially frontline workers, getting folks to jobs and healthcare and everything else. And so they really, we're really proud of the work they've done over the past year to keep the system running. We also would recognize that many of the essential jobs that that folks continue to have to go into, as opposed to being able to work from home or remotely, depended upon the bus, right? So a critical lifeline for the entire region to get people to the jobs that were necessary to keep things running during the pandemic. At the same time, certainly, commuting is down. Not as many people are going downtown, for instance, for their jobs. So we've seen a little bit of step back in folks taking the bus, but we expect that to come back as folks return to the office.
Well, there has been a disruption in the way we engage with our communities and even where we decide to live, where we might work, how we might work. Has that changed anything as you approach the implementation phase here of the Reinventing Metro plan?
Well, sure. And I think if you think about how we came together with the plan, a lot of discussion was that the system had been designed for the 1970s workforce and where jobs were at that time. So very much about getting people downtown and back. And so the whole Reinventing Metro plan was around having a system that allowed people to practically get the jobs throughout the county, right? Cross county, not having to go all the way downtown to go, north or south, those kind of things. And so I think the ability to continue to focus on where the jobs are is really important. And so we've gone back out to the community with several engagement sessions to get feedback. And I think the good thing about the bus system is that because, you can change a bus route fairly quickly, that if the jobs change and the results from the pandemic really do make a big impact, we can send buses to other locations.
We're talking with Craig Kesey. He is the board chair at the Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority. Our conversation is about the Reinventing Metro plan approved by voters last year through Issue 7. Craig, talk a little bit about the economic impact of this, because it's not just the economics of your organization. It is the economics of the region that you're trying to bolster with this plan, as I understand it. How are we connecting more people to jobs by reinventing Metro?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways, right? You talked about the changes that we're introducing soon in terms of things like increasing span, so 24-hour service, which will allow us to get to thousands of jobs that are night shift or overnight work that you couldn't have gotten to before. Many of those jobs have been unfulfilled or not filled even during the pandemic, and so really important to get folks to there. We know that we're going to be able to access about 20,000 additional jobs inside the county through these changes with Reinventing Metro, and then really, in many of the jobs, it's taken, say, an hour or more to get to that job from where someone lives. They might have to have transferred and taken multiple buses to get there. And so those buses, if you didn't have good frequency, means, you're sitting, maybe getting off one bus, waiting a long time for the next one, those kind of things. We're trying to introduce a system that allows folks to use this as a practical option to get to work for those that either, have to rely on the bus or would choose to.
And that's something that I wanted to ask about is people who may not have ridden the bus previously for work purposes. Do you think that this attention to details that Metro is now providing in increasing frequency along busy routes and going 24 hours on it, do you think people will ride the bus that didn't before?
I do. I think, again, it's if the bus isn't a practical opportunity for you. So if you can get by car, and you had the opportunity to have a car and get to your job in 30 minutes and the bus was going to take you an hour or more, it probably wasn't seen as a reasonable alternative. In this case, it should be. And not only to the job maybe that you're in, but maybe to more higher paying jobs and things. And so we can fill those jobs that are really necessary for the community. And we've gotten a lot of requests oftentimes from younger workers that didn't want to have a car and for environmental reasons and other things. And so we're real confident that the ridership, which was actually ticking up for the first time in decades before the pandemic hit, that it'll return very strong once we get back to work.
So for people who may have been reliant on the bus because they couldn't afford their own independent transportation, that may suggest that they're taking the bus to a job that doesn't pay that great. What do we know about the wages that are available at these jobs you're trying to connect more workers to?
I think there's a couple of things to that discussion. One is if the bus isn't available, then most of the other alternatives to get to that job, whatever it pays, are more expensive, right? So, we talked about adding overnight work or weekends. I know there was a story that Daryl Hay, the CEO of Sorta, was talking about when the vice president was in town, where there was a young lady that had to take Ubers on Sundays to get to her her job, and that the cost of the Uber both ways was more than she made in that day, but she needed that day of work to get the rest of the week to work, right? So it's going to make it practical to have a low cost option to get to the jobs. And like we said, this gives you more choices, and with more choices, you'll probably get to higher paying opportunities.
According to Sorta, 750 new job sites that are currently not reachable by Metro will be accessible now, reaching about $850 million in total wages. What routes are we talking about when we suggest that 10 routes will be seeing improvements here in this first phase?
So we're moving to 24-hour service on 7 major routes that make up more than half the service or half the ridership. The Route 4 that goes up into Blue Ash, the Route 11 that goes down Madison Road, Route 17 that serves Mount Healthy, Route 33 that's Glenway Avenue, Route 43 that serves Bond Hill, 78 which goes through Lincoln Heights, and then 51 which is a new crosstown route. Other routes that we'll see are the Route 16 that goes through Mount Healthy, the Route 20 that goes up through Cry County, and the Route 46 in Avondale will have a longer span of service during the day.
And this move to 24-hour service along 7 of those routes, this is the first time we're going to see that here, right?
Absolutely. Yep. And like I said, much of the system was based on the way jobs were done, decades ago. And there's been more overnight work, even in places out by like where the airport, with the Amazon expansion and things like that. So really critical to the economy and to the people looking for those jobs.
Let's talk about jobs within Metro. Have you had any difficulty or challenges in bringing new drivers on?
Well, it probably is our biggest challenge, and there's certainly opportunities out there. If you go to the Metro job site, you can learn more about it. And we're offering, I believe, $1,000 signing bonus for folks that come on board. But that's the biggest challenge right now. There's a lot of competition out there. There's, folks are trying to figure out what makes sense for them and what's the safest thing to do in the near term. And so we're working hard, and they really are great jobs. And like I said, I think our operators are heroes, and it's a great, great opportunity.
Are you going to need more drivers than you had before because of this increased frequency?
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll be hiring, I believe, about 120 new operators over the next year or so.
And what type of incentives are you offering to kind of stand out from that competition?
Well, so we're working on with the union to see what we can do about adjusting the wage scales. And so we'll be increasing the starting wages, but at the same time, we're offering a $1,000 hiring bonus to folks that come on board.
What type of person should be considered for a job like that?
You know, the operators have interesting and challenging jobs, right? You're driving the bus, you're taking care of the passengers. You know, oftentimes these buses become like family, right? The people you work with and travel with every day. And so it really is for someone that likes working for folks, that likes to take care of people, need to be responsible and courteous and cautious and all those things. But it's a great long-term opportunity.
We'll continue this conversation about reinventing Metro as its first phase is set to get underway. Just ahead, a little later, the local acceleration of the fight against climate change will preview the Midwest Regional Sustainability Summit. And also next week, as part of our ongoing series, Trust in Local Government, WVXU's Public Integrity Project, Cincinnati Edition will devote time each afternoon to discuss the growing lack of trust in our elected officials and efforts to reinforce ethical standards in public agencies. And you can join the discussion right here on Cincinnati Edition weekdays at noon on 91.7. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our discussion about the first phase of the Reinventing Metro Plan, an ambitious transformation of local transit. And we are joined by the chairman of the board at the Southwest Ohio Regional Transportation Authority, or SORTA, Craig Kesey. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100 or email your thoughts, comments, or questions to talk at WVXU.org. Craig, already the bus system has implemented a fare change. So city bus riders, for example, are paying a quarter more, and county riders are actually paying a little bit less. Can you tell us what the thought process was behind that?
Yeah, so we thought, you know, since it's now a county-funded system, there should be one fare for the county. So that's what we have now with $2. And even for the city folks that are paying slightly more for a single ride, we eliminated cost for transfers. So if you're taking more than one bus or doing round trips, it's really going to be about the same amount as what you were paying before. But really trying to have a simpler system than that, and through apps and phone using your phone, you can do it all online as well, which makes things a lot simpler.
So what was the purpose of that?
To make it easier for the riders to understand what they were doing, and to make it easier, obviously, for the operators to manage the fares as folks were getting on and off the bus.
Has that worked out as far as rider feedback has been concerned?
Yeah, we've had great feedback to it.
And right now, so it's $2 for all Hamilton County local routes, $2.65 for all Hamilton County Express routes, and $3.75 for suburban County Express routes that go to Warren, Butler, and Claremont counties, for example. Mm-hmm. We've got time to take a quick phone call. We find Eileen on the line. Hi, Eileen. What's your question or comment?
Hi. So I'm really concerned with reinventing the metro and all of this hiring of these drivers and offering services. And I wonder if, since you're going to be hiring such a large amount of drivers, if there's going to be, more of an intense screening on driver background. I know there's been some issues in the past with drivers not being let go when they have multiple accidents in their past. And I'm especially concerned about that.
All right, Eileen, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Craig, what I think I heard there was just a question on, how you are handling background checks, for example, on prospective employees and what, methods there might be should there be any violations by a driver.
Well, we certainly haven't reduced any of the standards as we're adding to the workforce. And what I would tell you is that, you know, the vast majority of our operators do a fantastic job and provide a safe service, right? Several have been recognized by the city and the county for even heroic actions and things. And so really proud of what they do. When folks have issues, as seldom as they may occur, right, we have a process to review and make sure that we have all the facts and deal with it appropriately, working with both the union and management.
All right. So we know that you've also had some public meetings where you've gotten direct feedback. And mm-hmm. we talked a bit about positive feedback from the fare structure change. How are people responding to the overall plan that you have currently?
I think the plan, you know, has gotten great feedback. Obviously, as we begin to implement it and see how it plays out, we'll get additional feedback. And usually with any change you make, there'll be some good and some bad. But what I, as I said before, what's nice about the bus system is you can make some changes along the way. I know folks are looking for us to add benches and shelters and things like that more rapidly, and we're working on that as well. But really want to maintain that discussion with the community around both the bus system and the infrastructure.
Has there been any changes in the approach to bus shelters, for example, or bus stops in general, the way that they might look or the rider experience while they wait for a bus?
Well, certainly the demand is for more, right? And we're looking for some different ways. You know, occasionally we've had designs where maybe there was glass and the glass would get broken and things like that. So we're working on some better ways to do it, but really how to make it pay for itself with the right kind of advertising and things like that's really critical.
Well, speaking of advertising and messaging in general, I know that if you're changing a route or if a bus stop is going away, that you've got to reach people. This is a pretty massive change. How are you alerting people who are using the bus regularly and those who might be flirting with the idea of trying it out?
Yeah, so we're doing it in a variety of ways, right? Through social media, through signage around the county. As when routes themselves change, right, we go along the route and make sure there's notices along that so that people can understand it. So I'm really trying to reach out to the folks that ride the bus. Always there's a lot of information at gometro.com. And we're trying to have conversations like this so people can be aware.
We're talking with Craig Kesey. He is the chairman of the board at the Southwest Ohio Regional Transportation Authority, or SORTA, and we're discussing the Reinventing Metro plan. What do you think people will notice first as this phase one starts to be implemented?
Well, I think they'll see, obviously, the overnight and the longer hours, which will be really powerful for folks. We know that there's the high demand in the evening, on the weekends, particularly things like that, when the bus service starts to decline. So that'll be really nice for folks. And then as we add the higher frequency, that's really going to be important again, because I think right now, there's certainly routes where folks have to worry about missing a bus, you know, that they may not get another one for an hour. And so having them come every 15 minutes, 30 minutes will really make it an easier transition for folks.
And this is phase one. How many phases are we talking about in the Reinventing Metro plan?
Well, we'll continue to expand this 24 hours is the first phase. The next phase, we'll start to introduce the new routes. Right. Those take we need to add buses for some of those kind of things. Right. For new routes and new service where you don't necessarily have to add a bus to do the overnight. And then we'll be getting into discussions around things like bus rapid transit and more dedicated services, which would be the end, which is probably 5 or 6 years away.
When we think about adding buses, we think about the role that buses might play in the environment. And in our next segment, we will be previewing the Midwest Regional Sustainability Summit. I know sustainability has been a priority at Metro for a while. Mm-hmm. How is that playing a role in these new phases, this new plan?
Well, certainly we believe riding the bus is more environmentally friendly and sustainable than taking a car every day, right? You have more people traveling in one vehicle. The other thing is looking at the electrification of the fleet. That's one of the things that came up when Senator Brown and the Vice President were in town last week. There's some federal support for that. So I think you will see over the next several years an increasing use of electrical vehicles.
All right, we'll go back to the phone lines now. We have Rosalie on the line. Hi, Rosalie. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Michael. I have two questions. My first question is about the crosstown routes, the 7 24-hour ones. Only one of those is a crosstown, and that's really important if you're trying to improve speed and usage. And the second really is frequency. I'm originally from the East Coast, and if I had to wait more than 10 minutes, I got very annoyed. So here, a lot of the buses, even 15 minutes, I think, is too long to wait. So what can we do about improving that?
Thank you, Rosalie, for the call. We appreciate it. We'll address those questions now. Craig, the first question was about only one of those new 24-hour routes being a crosstown route. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is accurate. And so we're part of the new service that's going to be introduced over the next few years is more crosstown routes. So we have more limited options for the 24 hours. But we thought it was important to have at least one major one as opposed, you know, so that people that were going north-south could still get across to where they needed to get.
So are you going to be gathering data from ridership on that and using that to determine whether additional crosstown 24-hour routes will be introduced?
Absolutely. So constant feedback is really what we do. We have several kind of ongoing focus groups that we use, rider panels and things like that to get feedback. And we survey and have the public sessions to try to get feedback on what folks are looking for. We talk to businesses about what they need. I think there'll be an increasing intersection between the business community and SORTA, making sure we provide service that works for all of them. So, that's, again, what's great about buses is you can shift as the needs shift.
We heard Rosalie also say she's from the East Coast, where I guess she was accustomed to more frequent pickups. What can riders expect in that respect?
Yeah, so the standard in the industry is this 10 to 15 minutes, and we're trying to get to that for most of our major routes. Today, we haven't had very many routes other than some of the core six that do that. So you should see that on most of the service provided. And I think it, again, what I was saying before, it needs to become a practical option that you don't have to think about all that much, and that's what we want it to be. The good news, I guess, for us, too, is that maybe some of those East Coast cities where you may be waiting 10 minutes for the bus, but the traffic's a lot worse and the drive's probably a lot longer once you're in it.
I guess it's all a give and take there. Let's go to Barry on the line now. Hi, Barry. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, I just had a question about, I'm not sure it really fits into your access program or not, the Metro Access program, but I know that there is a service offered. Like, my daughter is vision and hearing impaired, and she was looking into a public transportation option to pick her up at or near her home and get her at or near her office. And the wait windows were like 2 hours. And if she wasn't there at the moment the thing showed up, she wouldn't get the ride. So I just didn't know if part of the sort of programs were re-looking at how some of those services might be performed.
Thanks for the call, Barry. We appreciate you listening and taking the time for us. Craig, I'll let you address that. Barry's special needs daughter, vision and hearing impaired, suggesting that there might be a 2-hour wait window between rides.
Yeah, so I'm sorry if she's had a bad experience. That's certainly not what we're looking for. But the paratransit service we provide is you can arrange for it the day before, and there are 2-hour windows, right, so that we can potentially at times pick up more than one person along the way. But the good news for us is that for the community is that the access service will expand along with the regular routes. The access service is provided within 3/4 mile of any fixed route service. So as we expand fixed route, both in terms of time and where it goes to, the access service will improve as well. We're also working and starting discussions with the other paratransit providers in the region to see if we can come up with a better solution. That could be better cooperation across the transit authorities and could be some different levels of service provided as long as we can make that work. We really want to make the same thing just like a practical opportunity for anybody regardless of their situation.
Craig, what do you expect the general community, specifically those who have no need for the bus right now, what should they expect to see as a result of reinventing Metro? What difference will be visible in the community?
I think a few things, right? Certainly having the buses available throughout the day and overnight and more often means it's something they consider for themselves, whether they're in a situation where they shouldn't be driving or prefer not to. It's a cheaper alternative. You can avoid traffic and parking and things like that. We have Wi-Fi on most of the buses, and we'll have it on all the buses soon. So I think it becomes an opportunity. It's an option that they can start considering in a real way that perhaps they haven't before.
Craig Kesey is the Southwest Ohio Regional Transportation Authority, or SORTA, board chair. We've been discussing the Reinventing Metro plan. Craig, thank you so much for the time you gave us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, always my pleasure.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.